be here today. Even if it is a little cloudy out there and it's supposed to rain this afternoon and be yucky and all that, isn't it great to be together?
Yes.
Amen. See, we don't need to have a bright, sunshiny day. We can still enjoy just being together to worship God, right?
Yes.
All right. I like that attitude. I've got an announcement for the ladies. So, guys, you can close your ears. You don't have to listen to this. Although you might want to listen so you know why the ladies aren't leaving right away. There's going to be a Ladies' Day meeting, real quick Ladies' Day meeting, directly after worship service this morning in the fellowship hall. Okay, that's where the meeting is going to be held. They got something they got to talk about real quickly, so ladies, keep that in mind. And guys, y'all stand around with your hands in your pocket wondering where the ladies are. That's where they'll be. Okay? Did I mention that it was great to be here today? Amen. It is. We have been talking about experiencing God, and what we've been most recently focusing on is really looking at what we're calling seven realities of experiencing God. We're talking about this whole idea of getting to know God through experiencing Him, not just reading about Him, not just getting a bunch of knowledge about God, but getting to know God in relationship. And so these seven realities that we've been looking about are helping us to better understand different aspects of this relationship that we have with God and that God wants to have with us. Okay? So, you know, as we're finishing this lesson, this series this morning, this is number seven, reality number seven, okay? But just by way of real quick review, especially for those of you who haven't been able to be with us all the time, we started out by looking at reality number one that says God is working around you. He's always busy. He's always working around us in our lives. God has stuff to do. He's not just sitting up in heaven somewhere, wherever heaven is, and just kind of watching the world turn around and so forth. God is actively working around us, and He's working to accomplish His purposes, His work, okay? Reality number two is that God is pursuing you in a love relationship. God is chasing you. Remember, we talked about how neat it feels just to be chased, okay? To be pursued by God. He wants to be in a love relationship with us. The third reality is that God is inviting you to join Him in His work. In the work that God is already doing around you, God wants you to join Him. And remember, it's not about what you want to do. It's not about your work. It's about God's work. That God is inviting you to join Him in His work. Reality number four is that God is speaking to you. God is wanting you to hear Him, and He speaks in different ways, as we talked about, to let us know what He wants from us, what He wants us to be doing, you see. The next reality, number five, is God brings us to a faith crisis. Whenever God calls on us to be involved and to be doing different things, sometimes those callings are going to bring us into a crisis of belief. They're going to challenge our faith, see? And that God brings us into that faith crisis because He wants our faith to grow. Okay, reality number six is that, especially in the midst of those faith crises, there are adjustments that we have to make. Those crises require us to make some adjustments in our lives and adjustments to our faith, see, so that we can be conforming to what God has in mind for us and what God is doing around us. So today we're going to look at reality number seven. Okay? Reality number seven talks about the fact that we get to know God through obedience. We know God through obedience. That's what it really comes down to. Getting to know God through our obedience to His Word. Now, we start out in this lesson with a Greek lesson. Okay? You notice on your notes there, it's Greek to me. Okay? You know, and I've said this many times before, I know enough Greek to be dangerous, okay? I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know enough Greek that I might can share a couple of things with you that I think make a difference in us kind of being able to understand something on this level, well, yeah, okay, but then when you get a little bit deeper and you understand the meaning of some words, it really can make a difference in our understanding of what God is trying to tell us. So let's talk about Greek for just a moment. Turning your Bible to 1 John, if you haven't already turned there. 1 John chapter 2. This is the text that was read for us as we began this morning, where John writes, beginning in verse 3, "We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, 'I know Him,' but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did." Now you see, John here in this text is talking about exactly the whole thing we've been talking about for all this time, getting to know God, right? That's what it's all about. Knowing God or being in relationship with God. That's what the word, the first word we're going to look at this morning, the word in the Greek language for gnosko. Okay? Now, what you need to understand about that word is that it never in the Scriptures refers to intellectual knowledge. Okay? That would be knowing about something. Okay, but again, we're talking about experiencing God, that is, getting to know God through our experience. That's relationship. Let me read to you what the definition and how this word is used specifically in the New Testament is. W.E. Vine says it indicates a relationship between the person knowing and the object known. In this respect, what is known, listen to this, is of value or importance to the one who knows, and hence the establishment of the relationship. So you see, what this word speaks about is relationship that has value. I want to be in a relationship with you because you're important to me. You see? Why are we in relationships with one another? Why are you in a relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with friends that you have? Because you are valuable to one another, right? That's really what this is talking about. That's what relationships are based on, is the value that we hold to that person. You know what? Think about it. How many people have you known in your life that you don't really hold a whole lot of value for? In other words, they're not really that important. They're not significant in your life. Doesn't mean they're bad. It just means, yeah, I know them, but they're not really significant to me. Well, is it really proper to say then that we have a relationship with that person? No, not really. I know that person. I know of that person, but I don't have a relationship with them. But let me tell you something. If there was value there, you see, then we would seek to get to know one another, wouldn't we? You see? I mean, guys, stop for a moment and think about it. I know some of you have to think a lot further back, okay? But you stop and think for just a moment about when you first met your sweetheart, right? And you looked over at her and you went, ooh la la, there's some value there. Okay, you see, I like what I see. I'm talking with her. I like what I hear. You see, and you started building a relationship because you saw the value in that. And ladies, I'm not letting you off the hook. You saw the same thing about him, right? Right? The guys are all sitting here going, yeah, that was right. The ladies are no response, okay? But you understand, you see, the relationship is based on and thus built on the value that it holds for those in the relationship. Does that make sense? Well, we understand that when it comes to people in our relationship with one another, the very same thing is true of our relationship with God. And that's what the word gnosko is really referring to. It's talking about a relationship with God. here as John uses that word, and it's talking about the fact that we hold that relationship has value to us. Okay? And thus John uses that word in that way. We know that we have come to know or be in relationship with Him if we obey His commands. Now that's the second word I want us to look at, the word for obey. Some of your translations use the word keep, if we keep His commands, and that's the more proper word here. The word in the Greek language is tereo. Okay? The word keep. Right? And that word literally means to observe or to give heed to, as in keeping commands. Okay? So basically it's just this idea of holding on to something, to observe what's going on, to keep it. Okay? I'm going to obey it. That's what it talks about, and John specifically in this context is talking about the commands of God. Okay? To keep those commands, to give heed to them. In other words, they are something that we are following or doing in our lives. Okay? Now, look up in John just a little bit before this in chapter 1. Here's a text that we've talked about a whole lot of times. But it's talking about this very same thing, the relationship that we have with God. Look in beginning in chapter 1, verse 5. John says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all." Look at verse 6. "If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." The word fellowship is the third word that I want you to focus on. That word in the Greek language is koinonia. And that word literally means communion. Okay? It means communion. The idea of, that's where we get the word community from. Does that make sense? You see? It's communion. It talks about togetherness. You see? That's why when Paul, as Wes read for us a few moments ago, when we were celebrating the, help me out here, communion, okay? And he was talking about, when Paul talks about the fact that when we eat the bread and we drink the cup, not discerning the Lord's body, he's not just simply talking about the body of Jesus hanging on the cross. He's talking about the body of Christ, you see? The communion that we have with one another, you see? Isn't that cool? You see? And so John here, as he's writing this to us in this importance of the relationship with God, that we see and understand the value of that relationship so we live or walk in fellowship with God, communion with Him, and how do we accomplish that? By keeping His commands. You see? In other words, basically, how do we experience a relationship with God? Well, foundationally, it's got to come first and foremost from obeying God's will, from living our life, walking in the light, you see, living our daily life, by keeping His commands in our life. Okay? Now, we need to understand that's the plus side. That's the positive side of things, okay? You want to get to know God. You want to experience a relationship with God. You want to be in fellowship with God, walking with Him in your life. The way that you do that is by obeying Him. Keep His commands. Do what He says. Okay? In John chapter 8, Jesus says, "If you hold to My teachings, you are truly My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What is the key to being a disciple of Jesus or following Him? Holding to His teachings. You see? Now, what we have to do, though, to make sure that we fully understand what John is writing here is we've got to look at the flip side of this coin. Okay? Because he makes it very clear here. Okay? The one side is, as we've said, if you want to be in relationship with him, then you've got to keep his commands. But then look at how he says it the other way. Verse 4 of chapter 2. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Yeah. You see, we've got to understand from the heart that aspect of things, because what we don't want to ever hear is for Jesus to say, I never knew you. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Jesus here says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Does that sound familiar? Isn't that the same thing that we just read in John? Okay? Keep the word. And then he goes on to say, verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So you see, what we're looking at here, what John is wanting us to see, and what Jesus is telling us here is, there is a contrast that we have got to make clear in our hearts and minds. There is a contrast that is made between those who claim to be in fellowship with God and are walking in obedience to Him and those who are claiming to be in fellowship with God who are not. You see, there is a clear contrast between those two. Those who are walking with God, who are keeping His commandments, are in fellowship, that is, in relationship, because they know Him, okay, gnosko. But those who may claim to be, those who are saying, Lord, Lord, yes, Jesus is my Lord, and they're doing a lot of good things, he says, but they're not keeping His commandments. In the judgment day, Jesus will say to them, depart from me. I never gnosko you. I never knew you. We were never in relationship with one another. You see. Why? Because you haven't been keeping my commands. You see, the experience with God, the relationship that we have with Him, reality number 7 says it comes by obedience to His Word, to His will. And outside of that obedience to what God is telling us, we have no relationship. Therefore, we do not know Him. God wants us to know and to understand. He wants us, as we already saw, reality number 2. He's pursuing us in a love relationship. But He in no way, shape, or form is going to force Himself and that relationship upon us. We have got to choose to obey God and to live our life in relationship with Him. In chapter 1 of 1 John, again, the text we just read a moment ago, if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So do we understand that this contrast that he's making very clearly? You either are or you're not walking in the light. And the only way you can know that, and he says you can know it. That's the other beauty of this. You see, you can know. He says this is how we know. We can be assured, you see, because we're keeping His commands. Okay. We can also thus then know that we're not, if we're not keeping His commands, if we're not obeying His will. Now, all of this, in everything that we've been talking about, and all of these different realities of experiencing God, bring us back to this one major point, okay? And that's number three on your outline there, okay? It's walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Because you know what? Ultimately, that's really what it's all about, isn't it? If you stop and think about it, that's what it's all about. That's what this is all about. That's what our family is all about. That's what our relationship with God is all about. It's about walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And you say, wait a minute, Russ, I don't understand. What do you mean by that? Go back over to Genesis chapter 3 and you begin to understand. Genesis chapter 3 is the story about the fall of man. Okay? Now, we can read that story and we go, boy, Adam and Eve were sure stupid, weren't they? You and I are just as stupid because every one of us are guilty of sin. Oh no, we maybe were not the first ones, but the first time we sin, we're just as guilty as they are and just as stupid. You see? So we can't just blame them. And the reason that I put it that way is to say, look at what they had before they sinned. That's what it's all about. You see? Go back to the text, and after Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, that they were told by God not to do, you say, which was a command, right? Help me out here. It was a command, and they disobeyed. Thank you, you see. And so when they did that, what happened to the relationship? The relationship was corrupted. You see, notice what happens. After they eat the fruit, the Scripture there says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord, verse 8 says. They hid from the Lord. Now, you know, I've talked about this before. We need to know and understand. They didn't hide from the Lord because they didn't know what that sound was. In fact, it was just the opposite. That's why I think that verse 8 says that. They hid, not from a monster, not from some mysterious sound they'd never experienced before, not from something that was happening that they didn't know. They hid from the Lord. They knew it was the Lord because they had had that experience in the past, is what I suggest. The Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But the relationship at that point was corrupted because they disobeyed God. And so they hid from the Lord. That's what sin does. That's what disobedience to God's will does. Is it corrupts the relationship. You see? But the great news is that our experience with God and God pursuing us in a love relationship is all about restoring. Isn't that great news? It's all about restoring that relationship to a walking in the garden in the cool of the day thing. That's what God wants with us. That's what He wants with you. He wants to be able to walk in the garden in the cool of the day with you. You see? To be in relationship with you. And the really great thing about it is, it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter that, no, you didn't eat the fruit on the tree. You did something else. You sinned. But it doesn't matter. Because God loves you so much, and as we said, He's pursuing you in a relationship with Him. He wants that relationship so bad, He says, you know what, I don't care what you did. I don't care what sin you have done. I want a relationship with you. I love you so much that I want that relationship with you. He's pursuing you. All I ask you to do is to obey my word. I want to be in relationship with you. And what you've done doesn't matter. Because I already took care of that with the blood of my Son. That's how much I love you. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Everybody quotes that verse And I think that we somehow, even as important as all those words are, somehow I think we miss an important part of what that verse is saying. God so loved the world. How much did He love it? He so loved the world. Literally saying He loved the world so much. That's what it means. He gave His one and only Son. That's how bad He wants to be in relationship with you. That's how much He loves you. That's what it's all about. He wants to be back in a relationship, a walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship with you. Satan, just like he did with Adam and Eve, he wants to keep you from that relationship with God. That was his whole point of tempting Adam and Eve. He wants that relationship to be destroyed and to not exist. And so, yeah, Satan is going to tell you lies. Oh yeah, you can listen to those sermons all you want to and you can hear all that stuff, but you know what? What you did is too bad for God to forgive. Don't believe what that preacher's telling you. It's too bad for God to forgive you. You know, if you'd have done this, that'd have been okay, but that sin that you did, oh no. It's a lie. It's a lie. Nothing. Nothing that God can't forgive you of in your life. Because He loves you that much. Satan lied in the garden when it all started, and he's still lying today. Okay? Because he doesn't want you in relationship with God. Okay? Understand this. I'll throw this in for free, okay? All right? Won't charge you any extra for this. You get this on your ticket this morning, okay? Satan doesn't want to have a relationship with you. That's not what he's all about. You need to understand that. Okay? With Satan, it's not about him having a relationship with you. It's about you not having a relationship with God. That's what it's all about. You need to understand that. Okay? Satan doesn't want to have you for his own because he cares about you, in other words. You see? He's not trying to tempt you and pull you away from God because he loves you. He's doing it because he hates God. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about me. We are all God's creation, and His work is trying to destroy God's creation. Because He knows that all of the creation He destroys, all of that hurts God. That's what it's all about for Him. You see the great contrast between that and God? You see, God's pursuing you because He loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you. Satan's pursuing you because he doesn't care about you. He wants to hurt God. God wants to be in a walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship with you. And he has taken care of all of the things necessary in order for that to take place. You can't buy your way into that relationship. You can't even do enough good deeds to get into that relationship. What you do have to do, though, is accept His provision, His will. It says, first of all, you've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner, that your sins are what separated you from God in the first place. You severed that relationship. You need to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Call upon Him as Lord of your life. You need to have those sins that are separating you from God washed away. Those are the things that Jesus, in His Word, has said, this is what I want you to do. Be My disciple, to be in relationship with Me, that's what you have to do. And then once you have done all those, don't make the mistake of thinking, okay, I did all that, I got it all down, and so now everything's great. No, He says, after that, you've got to walk in the light. That's our daily lives. Living our life according to His will for Him. Thus, we are in relationship with Him. Right? That is what it all comes down to. You see, disobedience to God's will destroys and corrupts the relationship with Him. But obedience to His will is what restores it. And that's what God wants more than anything. And that is the reality of experiencing God. That's the reality of having a relationship with Him. Not just knowing about God. Not just having a bunch of knowledge from the Bible and being able to quote a bunch of scriptures. But having a relationship with Him. That's what He wants more than anything else. Okay? I hope that all of these seven realities that we've been talking about, I hope that they've kind of pierced your heart some and allow you to see this whole concept of knowing God from a different perspective perhaps than you ever have before. That cause you to be able to look at it and to say, yes, that's what I want more than anything, is to have a relationship with God based on experience, not just knowledge. So that you can walk in the garden in the cool of the day with Him. Now, I know and recognize that, you know, in this audience of people, you know, that there are some folks here that are not doing what they should be doing. Right? That Satan has got you wrapped up in spiritual warfare and you're struggling and not doing what you know God would have you be doing. And if that's your situation right now, and the reason I said I know that is because I know when you get two people together, you know that one of the two of you at least, if not both, at that moment in time is having some struggles with Satan. I know that's true with me all the time. Okay? It's nothing personal. It's just a realization that, you know, Satan's working all the time. So we need help. We need encouragement. We need guidance. We need prayers to help us to live that life that God is calling on us to live. And that's what we want to do, is help one another to do that. So if you're already a Christian and you're trying to walk, but you realize that it's not working very well in my life right now, you need some help to do that, then let us know. That's what we want to do. Because we're all in this journey together. Okay? And it's about helping each other along the way. Anyone here this morning who's not a Christian, and you've not given your life to Christ yet, you're still separated from God by your sins. And you will remain separated as long as your sins are still there. What the Bible teaches is the way to have those sins removed is, as I said a moment ago, you've got to repent of those sins. You've got to acknowledge that those sins are there. Repent of those sins and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now if you're ready to make that commitment. Make Jesus your Lord. Okay. All you got to do is come up and let me know that, and we'll make it happen right now. I'm going to be up here in the front. Tom, if you'll come up and lead us in a song. Ted is going to be in the back, and if you'd like to have a prayer with him or just talk with him privately back there, then you can do that. We want to do whatever we can to help you in your relationship with God. Let's stand together and sing.